You know I'm a faggot. That much is true. Well, I'm just a faggot on my knees for you. I love dildos and butt plugs too. I'd sit on a bowling pin if a straight guy told me to. Ooh. No lube, baby, no lube.
No lube?
Just give me a little spit.
Oh,
on
yeah.
A hole. Ooh, 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 ooh.
Ooh!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Hierarchy Podcast, a production of the website fagsworshipalphas.com. I'm Sam the Faggot, and today I have a very special guest. His name is Master Jack, and he wrote a wonderful letter in response to the last podcast, about the rape of the faggot from the Middle East named Fred, that I named Fred. And I thought his response was very thoughtful, very insightful. And so I really wanted to talk to him. And we had an amazing conversation. So without further ado, let's dive right into this conversation with Master Jack.
Master Jack, say hello.
Hey there.
Excellent. I was really, really grateful for your letter after the rape podcast. I have to say that for myself, because I was raped when I was a young faggot, that I don't really have a great perspective on this, and I certainly can't see it from the alpha perspective as well. So,
I think you have the perfect perspective on it because you went through it.
Sure. I mean, I experienced it, the fury part of it, that part of it, but I don't know what it's like, what's going through an alpha's head.
Right.
Once you have that perspective, not to say you're
right,
rape, but right. But you, I believe all alphas have that same drive. It's just, you know, there's, don't you think so? Like, or do you?
Well, there is taking what you want without asking. There's using without a care for what's going on around you. There's rough sex, and all that's my right, you know. But there's also acts of violence, and there's a fine line between that. I mean,
yeah.
You know, rape is an act of violence. It's not just an act of aggression. It's an act of, it's an act of violence, and you know,
hurt rather than
exactly. It's, and a true alpha can get what he wants, however he needs it. So there's no need for rape,
right? Exactly. Right. I thought your letter put that into perspective very well, Master, and I really appreciated it. You were the one that I featured in the aftermath of that podcast.
I saw that. Yeah, I saw that.
You know, right. And I mean, I had other responses, but I just thought yours was the most articulate and thoughtful of the responses. And
thank you.
And so I just, that's why I reached
out. I wrote that letter to you because I heard in your voice your pain and your empathy for Fred. And I'll be honest, I don't know that much about you, but I've heard you reference, is it little boy, baby boy?
Baby boy, yeah.
So I know that you have empathy. And I heard the pain, you know, that you were feeling for this young man who lost his virginity to violence. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't consensual. You know, when a fag submits to an alpha, it's out of his need to do that. Right. You know, when an asshole rapes another person, fag, woman, whatever, it's not out of the recipient's need, you know. And that's one of the things about the rape fantasy that I just don't get. I mean, in my life, I've had a lot of gay boys, a lot of fags, you know, approach me with, you know, I really want you to rape me.
Mm-hmm.
That I just don't get that. I don't get that. It's
not as hard for you.
You know, that doesn't compute with my brain, mm-hmm. you know. And it worries me that there are these, you know, these young kids out there who are putting themselves, you know, in the firing line of all the deviants that are out there.
Yes.
You know,
I think the amount of faggots that are out there yearning to be beaten up and raped, it's actually a little disturbing to me. I've been fighting it on the website right. the whole time I've had the website. And I used to get a lot of, on Tumblr particularly, when I was on Tumblr, I got a lot of faggots that were just like, you don't understand, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I think I do understand, but I just fundamentally disagree that a faggot needs to be treated that way or that a faggot should desire to be treated that way.
Right. I mean, there's rough sex, there's S&M, mm-hmm. You know, but taking a person's head, pushing it into the wall,
yeah.
Intentionally to hurt him, you know, for no other reason, you know, that's not aggressive sex. That's not S&M.
Rape.
That's rape, you know, and
I had a hard time getting him to admit that it was
right.
rape.
Right.
Like that, you know.
You know, he's a young kid. He's yeah. inexperienced. He's equating power, you know. He's equating power with, you know, with
well
that fine line. That fine line, you know.
Right. Well, here's the thing about him is that he comes from the Middle East, and right. in the Middle East is full of rape, you know, right. because of the culture and because of that yep. religion, and so. And plus they're so underground that
yeah.
they don't have
yeah.
they lack the experience.
Yeah.
So when you get into that situation, you don't realize it until it overtakes you. You know,
right, right. And
that's another heartbreaking aspect to it is that these faggots and gay kids in the Middle East are basically trapped between death
yeah.
and rape. You know, like
this yep, is, yep, yep. And those are your two choices, right? Take yeah. it and shut up, or
virtually.
Yeah.
There's no right. love. There's right. no love or right. chance of love in that situation.
Right.
You know,
right.
Or hardly any chance. But
yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I've yet to, in all my time, let's say with the website and the reach of the website, I've yet to come across a love story that came out of the Middle East between two gay people.
Right.
Or especially not a fag. You know,
right.
You
know? Right.
But anyway, I'm curious because I don't know a lot about your history, Master. So I'd like to maybe delve into that a little bit.
Sure.
I don't know how old you are.
So I'm 48.
Okay.
I'm straight. I had my first sexual experience at 14. It was the mother of one of my friends. I was helping her around her house. She said she wanted to thank me.
she thanked you, didn't she?
And she did. I had sex with her for 2 years. I didn't start dating girls my own age until I was 16. And when I started dating girls, you know, that whole, you know, they tease you, then they don't want to have sex, you know? What did I know? I didn't know any better. There are plenty of girls out there. You know, I was a good looking kid, you know, mm-hmm. I could get what I thought I wanted, you know?
Right.
And it wasn't until I was about, I think I was 25 or 26. I was at a sex party. And I got into a three-way with a man and a woman. And when we were done, when I was leaving, the guy said to me, "You know, I was watching you. I was watching you tonight, and I saw that like you really love to get your cocks up, but I didn't feel that like you were enjoying any of the blowjobs that I watched you get." And I was like, "No, you know, it's, I don't know, they were okay, you know." And he said to me, "You know, you really got to try, you know, getting sucked off by a guy." And I was like, "I'm not gay, you know." So, you know, I went through all that. Well, anyway,
yeah,
you know, through this guy, I got my first blowjob from a fag.
He was also straight.
Yep.
He was using,
he was using gay guys for blowjobs and for the sex that he couldn't get from women.
Right.
You know, and, you know, I guess I would call him my mentor. You know, he introduced me to, you know, what a fag could do for me. And, you know, I was hooked. Right.
How was the blowjob from a faggot?
That first blowjob from a fag was the best blowjob that I'd ever had to that point in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I was hooked. I am one of those guys who loves to get his cock sucked. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I realized that night, you know, shit, I've been getting my cock sucked since I'm 14, and I never really had a good one until tonight, you know?
Right, exactly. I think a lot of straight men and alphas, they have the exact same experience of just, it's like walking through the wardrobe into Narnia, you know, like suddenly
right,
in the world, like this whole other thing exists that is fantastic, that I think the level of worship and everything else just kind of elevates it to, yeah, something really,
you know, and after I started, you know, using fags, I saw the difference. I saw that when a fag kneels in front of you and takes my cock in his mouth, there's that level of need and gratitude, you know, and it's not like begging your girlfriend to give you a blowjob and then hearing about, you know, you smell funny, you know, too much hair, you know.
He's flicking down with her tongue. And she says she clearly doesn't want to be there doing
that. And she doesn't want to be there. And she grudgingly gives it to you where.
A fag needs to do it.
He needs to do it. That's how he gets fulfilled.
Exactly. Right. I mean, I've often said that cocksuckers and faggots have a G-spot in our throats. I mean, when a cock goes down my throat, there's a sense of completion about in my soul almost. And, you know, I can't, like, when the man comes, I can't stop sucking it even afterwards, which I've noticed over and over and over again from other cocksuckers, that, like, they will continue to worship the cock even after the man's sin. And I think, I mean, I don't know because I'm not a man, but like, I think that that really impresses on men too. Like, this cocksucker is hungry for my cock so much that I have fed him my cum and still.
And he still needs more. And he still wants more, needs more.
Right.
And wants to give me more, you know, and wants to get another load out of me.
Yeah.
You know, That's impressive.
Do you feel that way?
Totally. Sometimes I just want that blowjob and I'm done and get out, you know. But when it's good and I've enjoyed it and he keeps on going, it's like, you're going to keep me hard, you know, and I'm going to give you another load.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
You were 25, did you say, when that happened?
I was 25 or 26, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So after that, you began to own faggots?
So after that, I started to pick up the cues of the guys who were looking at me, you know.
Don't you feel like your eyes become opened once you...
Well, you know, it's like the first time that I got my first pair of eyeglasses, you know. I didn't know I needed them, but when I put them on, I was like, wow, I can really see. Yeah. I can really see what's in front of me. And it was So this was an eye-opener. This was, wow, there's a part of life that I didn't even not
you
only
missing it because you were looking for pussy all the time.
Exactly. But, exactly.
And I heard this over and over again too, that like straight guys, once they've used me or another faggot, like they say, I didn't realize there were so many faggots around me, but now I can see it, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
It's like that,
yeah.
It's like that movie, what's that one movie with Roddy Piper where he puts the glasses on and he sees the aliens running around?
Right, right. And he realizes they've been all around us.
Masquerading, you know? Around.
Right, right, right.
I don't remember the name of that stupid ass movie.
Right,
but,
but I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, Roddy Piper. Anyway, but yeah, so I've heard this from many, many straight guys. And and it's fascinating to me. So that happened with you too.
Then. So that happened with me. It opened up a whole new world for me. It opened up a whole new way of looking at my own power.
Yes.
You know, that I can get what I want, you know, really easily, you know. And that's what I don't understand about rape. Because if you are a true alpha, you can get what you want. You don't have to force it. You know, right. It's there for you. You know.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. Like I mentioned this. I saw pictures of this alpha that raped
right.
me, and he's definitely a very good looking
right.
Middle-aged man, very fit. I think he's probably alpha, but I think it's the cultural problem
right.
that
right.
is causing that issue. I think he's probably alpha. But
right.
it's totally corrupted by his right. environment and
right. And what he's learned and what yes, he's been taught exactly. and what he's been taught, what he's been learned, what he's been exposed to. Right. You know, he probably grew up hearing his father raping his mother, you know. So
funny. Yeah, right. I mean I right. Or something like that.
Or something like that, yeah.
Or just the attitude of
right.
You know, of like because faggots and females are so devalued in that culture
right, right.
that they just look at them like they're things to beat up and take, you know, rape or whatever.
Right.
But, yeah. Alphahood can absolutely be corrupted. And I mean, that's why I kind of make that distinction between destroyer alphas and protector alphas.
Right.
Because destroyer alphas do exist and they are the corrupted version of what...
Right.
Of the
and you know it's very easy to go too far. I mean, even with the faggot who you use regularly, I mean, you don't know what's going on in his life, you know, at that moment, and you can be getting into it with him, and he's just not into it that night for some reason, and it has nothing to do with anything else, you know. And it's like, you know, you end it, you stop.
Really?
Yeah, there's another fag out there for me that I can call, you know?
That's true. But like, first of all, I guess it kind of boggles my mind that a faggot would not be receptive. Like, cause faggots are not like females in that regard. Like they still have like a male sensibility about sex. And so, I don't know. Like, sometimes I get frustrated when faggots kind of talk like their opinion really matters that much.
Right.
I mean, I don't really believe that it does. You know, I think a faggot should roll with it for the pleasure and service of the man, you know, but
there are times when you can see that it's not as good as he could be giving it, you know,
You're concession for him, basically.
On what?
You're making a concession out of some kindness on your part, basically.
I don't know whether it's a concession or it's...
We're simply saying, okay, this faggot is not, for whatever reason, not in the mood to really please me correctly, so I can find pleasure elsewhere if I need to.
Right.
I don't need to.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a kindness on your part, I guess, you know, sort of. I mean, yeah, you're basically saying, okay, this faggot's not into it, but I'll find some other faggot, you know,
right,
so
right.
I'll leave this faggot alone, I guess. But,
right, right, right.
So
maybe I'll give him another chance another time. Maybe I won't, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So Master, so, when did you start owning faggots? Because I think you told me in one of your letters that you own currently own.
I own three. Yeah, I own three faggots. Yeah.
How old were you when you owned your first faggot?
I was probably in my early 30s. I had found this gay boy. He was available when I wanted him to be. He, he gave me what I was looking for, and he would leave. You know, he was not looking for. Mm-hmm. He was not looking for, I want to be your boyfriend. I want you to love me, you know, any of that. It was.
Have you ever encountered that?
Oh, I've encountered that all the time. I make it very clear. This is what I'm about. This is what it's about. This is the way it's going to go.
This is
what you are, you know. I've had the fags fall in love with me, and you have to. And I've had to, remove them from my life. That's not what this is about, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, so you found this one faggot.
Found this one, yeah. And he, it was just the perfect arrangement.
What was his name?
His name was David. He was...
Are you there? I can't hear.
Pride you. In being a cocksucker, you know. Yeah. We were just starting with cell phones, so it was great. I could give him, I could call him. He could be over in 15, 20 minutes, I could use him, I could get what I want, and then kick him out the door.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Until the next time.
Right. Okay. So yeah. What steps did you take to own him? What made it different? Ownership.
What made it different was I told him that I was the only man that he was going to serve. My cock was the only cock he was going to suck. If he couldn't deal with that, move on.
Right.
Do
you only use faggots for cock sucking?
I also fuck them.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've always been one of those men who was very careful, safety in mind, mm-hmm. When you're a player, you gotta be careful, mm-hmm. Right. We've lived through STDs, HIV, yeah. All of that. And it was also just letting him know that I'm the center of your world. This is where you come for cock.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, so he agreed to that?
He agreed to that, and he serviced me 2 years.
How old was David?
He was in his early mid 20s. I was in my early mid 30s. I was a good 10 years older.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So 2 years he served you?
2 years. Yeah.
Okay. Then what happened?
I got bored. There's a lot of fish out in the sea.
Sure.
I had those glasses on so I could see what was available.
Right.
I started procuring others, and
but there's no reason why you had to be faithful.
Oh, I wasn't faithful. I wasn't faithful. I mean, when he was in his service to me, I was fucking other gays. I was fucking other women.
Right.
It was getting. I don't know. I was getting bored. It was getting stale. Let me try a different type.
Right.
Men
like variety.
Exactly.
Although, I've known many alphas that have owned faggots for many years.
Right.
It's not unheard of for sure, but.
Right. One of the three that I own right now, mm-hmm. He's been my faggot for, I think, since 2001.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a very.
It's a very long time. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you Is he a live-in faggot?
No, no.
Have you ever owned a live-in faggot?
No, I've never had a live-in, no.
Okay. Hmm.
No.
It seems like he would have graduated to that at some point or another, I guess, but like...
It's never been my... I need my space, you know.
Sure. Faggots don't have to be in your space. Like live-in makes it convenient. They can do domestic work and whatnot and take care of...
They can do that, you know.
Remotely.
They can do that remotely. They can pick up my dry cleaning. They can do my laundry. They can run errands for me. They don't have to live with me. They don't have to live with me to do that.
Do your faggots do that?
Yeah, they do. Okay. They do. Yeah.
So the
I've got a nice situation going with each of the three that I own. You know, they each have, you know, one's great at running the errands, one's great at cleaning my house, you know, right. You know, doing some work out in the yard, you know, all that stuff.
Right. Okay.
You know,
that's good to have multifaceted tools in your
exactly.
Do the three faggots that you own currently know about each other and like work together?
They know that each one of them knows there's two other. Okay. I keep them separate.
Yeah.
That's just the way it works. That's just what works for me, you know?
Yeah, right,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Men compartmentalize things
right.
very well, so that's not surprising to me at all. But right. How the other two faggots, are they long-term faggots or are they short-term?
The first is 28. He's been with me, it's going to be 2 years, I think, in September. Mm. The second, he's 32. Mm-hmm. He's been with me, it's going to be, I think he was a year in April.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So, do you put your faggots in chastity?
Yes.
You do. So is that a first step rule, basically?
First step rule is they always wear a jockstrap. Okay. You know, when I know that this is the route that I want to go in terms of ownership, then yes, we move to chastity.
Okay.
And yeah.
So, it's like Master Nick, who I've been chronically on the website, is, you know, he's a straight alpha just like you, and he owns four live-in faggots, right? And
right.
He, step one is before he even allows a faggot to service him, the faggot has to go into chastity. So he starts that right off the bat.
So like with me, I mean, I understand that. With me, there's only one cock in the room and that's mine.
Well,
that's
what the jockstrap is there.
That's what the jockstrap is there for. And, you know, your penis is just so you can urinate, you know. Sure. Wear the jock. I don't need to see it. You don't need to see it, you know. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Okay. All right. So the chastity cage is kind of a formal step for you then.
Yes. Yeah.
Those three faggots currently are the only ones that you have in chastity right now.
Correct. Correct.
The other faggots that you use are just come and go kind of faggots.
Basically. That's right. That's right.
How many faggots would you say that you've owned over the years?
Over the years, probably. I'd say maybe about a dozen.
Okay. Now, yeah. What would you say makes this long-term faggot that you've had since 2001, what makes him different? What keeps him around?
What keeps him around is he's closer in age to me.
Okay.
I kind of get off on using a fag that's like my age, you know? We have kind of parallel lives in terms of career, social position, you know, that kind of thing, that you don't have with a fag who's 20 years younger than you, you know, that kind of thing. So I think one of the reasons why I enjoy the way I use him is because, you know, to the outside world, he's my equal.
Right, right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. There's a power.
There's that head trip that, you know, if we were walking down the street together, you know, the world would see us as equals, but we are not.
Oh, no, not at all. Not at all. So do you take your faggots out in public?
No, I don't. Okay. No, I don't. You know, that was just an analogy.
Right, right, right. Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some do definitely take their faggots out in public. There's a faggot on that I've been covering on the website. His name's Tim. He's a slave faggot to a straight alpha. And this straight alpha is very, very dominant. And he'll walk Tim around on a leash.
On a leash, right, right.
Which I thought was pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I didn't know how far you took that.
No, I, yes. that's not a practice that I, you know, see myself. Yeah.
What part of the country do you live in?
I'm in the Northeast.
Okay. Northeast. So,
you know, I'm sure you can tell from my accent. I'm a New Yorker, you know, I guess so.
I mean, you know, I don't think it's a pronounced accent.
Okay. Okay.
So,
did I lose you?
No, I'm just thinking. Are you currently dating any females?
I see two women. I don't know if you would call it dating. You know, we get together, I fuck them.
Right. Right. You have a very healthy sex life, Master. That sounds very good. Very healthy.
You know, I've always been sexual. You know, I've always had a high libido. I've got to get off every day. You know, if I don't, there's no living with me, you know. So it's just better for everybody.
Exactly. So, hang on. So you, trying to think. So, in terms of, you said you fuck faggots too. So, do you breed your faggots?
I do.
Okay. You mentioned something.
I mentioned what?
You mentioned that you, you mentioned about protection and stuff or being cautious. So I didn't know.
So these are, as I said, these are long-term situations. You know, we have all been tested. I know they're not giving their mouths or pussies to other men. Right. You know, I am careful. I get tested. You know, so I feel that I'm keeping all of us safe.
Okay. That's fine. I mean, don't you feel like breeding your faggots is important?
It's the only way. I mean, it's, you know.
Do you notice a difference when you breed?
Of course I do. Of course okay. I do. You know, okay. I mean, I'm putting my seed in them. It grows inside them. Mm-hmm. It makes them have a part of me inside them. It bonds them to me. You know, it creates another level of ownership.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
And that act of receiving my cum in your pussy is just another level of acceptance that they belong to me.
Right, right. It's very powerful. And I think one thing about what men can do with faggots, it's not as easy to do with a female because of the pregnancy issue. So,
well, absolutely. And even the women that I fuck them with condoms.
Mm-hmm. Right. Of course. And women famously do not suck dick very well or swallow cum.
Absolutely. Right.
So getting that cum inside them without getting them pregnant.
Right.
It's not that easy.
Right.
So the ownership level is not as profound, but I think like the faggot, you can dump as much cum as your body can produce into
Absolutely. I mean, that's what they're there for. I mean, you know, that's what keeps them living.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great way to put it. Thank you for that. Yes. You definitely have come to understand the faggot mind very well over the course of the time. So it's impressive, actually.
Well, I'm a studier of life. You know, mm-hmm. I find human interaction just interesting. You know, just the way we interrelate with each other. You know, in general. You know, so I find, you know, the alpha, beta, the fag, the master, the daddy boy, the yin yang. I just find that, you know, just so fascinating. And I mean, it's the natural order, and it's, I don't know, it's the key to life, actually, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's an interesting way to put it, because I've said this over and over again, that like, I consider hierarchy to be the fundamental aspect of human life.
Right.
It's actually the fundamental aspect of all social animal life on Earth.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So,
right. You know, I was out in a field. I was out taking a hike. I was out in a field, and it was, you know, getting towards dusk. So it's when all the animals come out looking for food. And in this one field, there were deer. There were wild turkeys. There were rabbits, there were birds. They were all feeding. They were all eating different things. They were all feeding, and they were all there together. And it was like they weren't fighting each other for, they each were finding what they needed. You know, and that's what this is, you know?
Right. Exactly. It's, and I just, when people say that to me, and I get this a lot, that they say that the alpha fag thing is fake, or it's just a fetish or whatever.
Or it's role play acting.
Yes. And I just got a question on the website today about that very thing. I get it a lot. And so it's frustrating to me, because it's not a fetish. It's not anything that you or I can help. It just is.
It's the way it is. It's the it's just the natural order. I was born with this appetite. Mm-hmm. And with this mindset, you were born with that parallel, is that the word, appetite, and mindset that clicks with mine, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just, honestly, I think that all straight men understood that they could own a faggot.
Right. Serve
them, I think they would do it.
Right.
And if they didn't feel like it was wrong,
or if
they were going to be made fun of if somebody found out, or whatever.
Right.
But I think if they knew that they could discreetly own a faggot that would serve them, I think a lot of them would do it, because it appeals to a basic aspect of manhood.
Absolutely.
And so, I mean, it's not just like you and I are on polar opposite ends of this
system.
It's it's the whole spectrum. It's right. The spectrum exists, you know.
Right. Right.
We're all on the spectrum.
But it's getting to realize that, and it's getting to actualize it. So I think there are a lot of men out there, a lot of straight men out there who, you know, they're not getting any sex at home. They want to be faithful to their marriage, their family, whatever. They're fearful that I'm not gay, you know. Right. You know, if anybody was to find out, you know, I was letting a guy blow me, you know, it would be the end of the world. You know, and I think, you know, it's, they're not ready to take that step into actualizing it.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe your book will do that for some.
Well, I'm hoping actually that that is true. You know,
maybe if a man next week finds it in his gym bag, he'll read it. He'll think about it. He'll process it. And he'll say, I'm going to give it a try. You know?
Yeah.
You
know? Well, I mean, the website itself over the course of five years has been an eye-opening experience for a lot of straight men.
Right.
It's shocking the number of straight men that I have talked to. I mean, I was in my personal life as a faggot for 20 years. Like, I serviced a lot of straight men, and I coaxed a lot of straight men. I was a faggot for a lot of straight men. But the website has done that as well. And so that's one of the exciting aspects of that website. It was kind of unintentional. I didn't start the website with that idea. But
okay.
But
that's what it's evolved into. Yeah.
Yes, because I started getting these questions from straight men on Tumblr and whatnot, and and I was dealing with it, and as it came, and now it's turned into this thing, you know. That. But now with the book, you know, I'm kind of sending out my fag army out into the world to try to plant more seeds of this, you know. Now, have you tried to mentor any straight friends of yours into?
So my three best male friends, they know this side of my life.
Okay.
Good. You know, I've tried to help them understand this could be you as well. You know,
they just need a taste test.
They need a taste test. They need that experience that I had when I was 26. That guy who invited me over to his apartment, he had a fag come over. The fag sucked my cock, and I was hooked, you know?
I just posted that story from Sir Rob a couple weeks ago, where he did that very thing with his straight friends. He started using a faggot right in front of a straight friend. And the animal side of the straight friend over, you know?
Right.
Yeah, that's what needs to happen.
Right. You know, so I haven't converted. I haven't converted anyone yet, but that's
the pump though.
Yeah, I've primed the pump, and you know, the door is open, you know, show me a little bit more, you know, interest, and you know, I'll invite you over and I'll have one of my fags serve you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even to just see.
Right.
Well, Master Dylan did the same thing too. With a guy from his work, he had his faggot start sucking his dick right in front of his friend, and next thing you know, his work friend is fucking one of his other faggots. You know, so
exactly right.
I mean, like it. All you have to do is just kind of put the food in the bowl on the floor, and the dog comes.
Right. Absolutely. You know, you put the cheese out, the mice. Exactly. The mice. Yeah. The mice hit the bait. Yeah.
And they can't stop themselves.
They can't stop themselves. Right. Right.
I mean, I think when men understand, when they see another man who they respect as a man, using a faggot, and he's still a straight man, nothing has changed because he's using a faggot. When he sees that, okay, this is all right. I'm going to survive. You know, like
Right.
You should really.
And I could have the smile on my face that Jack always has. You know, it's You know, like a lot of my friends always say to me, you know, you're always in such a good mood. I'm like, yeah, well, you know why?
Because I'm emptying my balls every day.
Exactly. And it's not just emptying my balls. I'm getting worshipped, you know?
Yeah. Yes, that's a huge deal, I think, for men.
Yeah, of course it is. It's like, you know, I've got this, this really comfortable leather chair, you know, and it's the throne, you know, it's the throne. Mm. I mean, I sit in that chair, you know, a faggot, you know, just goes to town on my cock, my balls, my body, you know, I make him eat my ass, you know, and it's like, I'm a king, I'm a god.
Exactly. That's exactly right. That is exactly right, Master. Here's a question that you mentioned about getting your ass licked. Because a lot of alphas don't cross.
That took me a while. And how I learned the pleasure of that was through a massage. I was getting a massage. It was a masseur who I had been going to for quite a while. You know, he always sucked my cock. And one night I was on my back, and next thing I knew, I felt something. He was licking my ass, and it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know.
What did you think about that?
I was like, damn. It's like,
it feels good, doesn't it?
It feels fucking amazing. And it's like, and again, it was, you know, it was, geez, why didn't I have this sooner, you know? Exactly.
Here's the weird thing. Like, when a man licks an asshole, it's not worshipfulness, it's hunger on his part, you
right.
know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, that's it. I mean, that, you know, I saw the way this masseur, I mean, he had sucked my cock many times, but he was a good cocksucker, but I felt a difference, and I was like, and it was that hunger. It was that, getting lost in something that, you know, that's forbidden, you know, forbidden by culture, you know, whatever. Yeah.
Well, I think like when a man licks a female's ass, I think the woman gets embarrassed. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
Right.
There's a different reaction. But when a man has a faggot lick his ass, there's it's almost like an absolute sense of power that washes
correct.
Over.
Absolutely.
But it's really hard to get men to go over the line on that.
Right. Right.
But they have to be almost kind of accidentally, just the way you experience.
Just the
it.
Way I exactly. I mean, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's I think with faggots, so this is where brave faggots change the world, because the brave ones of us, we will go that extra step and take a man where he doesn't know he needs to go until
right. And that's that yin yang. That's that yin yang. It's like,
right, exactly.
Right.
Well, it's fascinating. I don't mean to keep you forever on this interview.
No, I'm enjoying our conversation.
I truly, truly enjoy talking to you, Master. And I thank you very much for your honesty and your openness. I really,
my pleasure.
Your letter about the rape was very, very helpful and
good.
And Fred told me to tell you thank you, and I want to make sure that I say thank you, because he was touched by it too. And so,
good. That was the purpose. Yep.
And I tell you that the world needs more alpha males like you, apex alphas like you. So I really appreciate getting to meet you.
My pleasure.
I can't believe that I'm just now getting around to knowing you, because I'm so glad that you reached out to me, because,
well, you know, the world is big. I mean, you know, the world is big, and yet it isn't. But, you know, and that's one of the things when I'm flying in an airplane and you look down at night and you see, you know, all the lights twinkling, and it's like, there are so many people down there, and maybe I'll meet, you know, a fraction of them, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know,
I mean, the internet's a big, big place, but I've been really lucky to meet some really great apex alpha males in the past, particularly in the past year and a half.
Right.
I mean, they've changed. I mean, I'm in chastity now because of these great, great men that I've been meeting.
Right.
Who finally kind of got me to understand that I needed to go into chastity.
Right.
And that was a big I mean, it's so weird after 20 years, I'm learning that, you know.
Right. Right. But that's it. I mean, you know, you're willing to learn, and you see now that, you know, being in chastity,
yes,
it's making you so much better.
Thank you. Thank you, Master. Yes, it has definitely changed me.
It's making your life better. Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is.
Yeah.
And I just have a profound new respect and understanding of manhood and like what,
right,
like what a cock represents in terms, right, of that.
Right.
And that I need to honor that. Even if I'm not currently serving an alpha.
Right.
I need to honor it in all aspects of my life.
Right. And in that way, you're serving every alpha.
Okay. Well, that's very,
think about that.
Yeah, thank you, Master. I appreciate that. Well, thank you again for the extraordinary conversation. I could talk to you forever, I think, but I won't do that. But okay. I would love to maybe continue this conversation when there's a topic.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Keep me in mind. Yeah. Reach out to me. Reach out to me. Let me hear from you, you know, besides the podcast. And
yeah, definitely.
You know, would keep you in touch with me. Absolutely.
Would you want people to contact you or no?
Yeah, they are free to contact me. Absolutely.
Okay, so I will have some contact information so listeners can contact you and hopefully praise you to high heaven, because that's all I'm going to do is praise you to high heaven. So, but thank you very much, Master. I appreciate it.
Okay, you have a good evening.
You too. Bye.
Okay, take care.
Well, I don't know what to say other than there are some incredible alphas in this world, and Master Jack is definitely one of them. What a privilege, what a joy it was to talk to him. He's lived a life full of adventure and experimentation, and he's lived the life of a king, just as all alphas should. And what a blessing it is to get to talk to men like him. So, Master Jack, thank you very much for talking to me. I look forward to talking to you some more. And I hope that you all enjoyed it. And that's all I got for tonight. Okay? So be good, take care, and I will talk to you soon. Love ya. Bye.